am going to have two readings for you this morning. The first one is a scripture reading. It's very short. It's one proverb. And then I'll move on to my other reading. And it's Proverbs 17:22. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. And the proverb is this. A joyful heart is good medicine. A crushed spirit dries up the bone. Then a reading from author Elizabeth Gilbert from her book, Eat, Pray, Love. Happiness is the consequence of personal effort. I'm going to read that one again. Happiness is the consequence of personal effort. You fight for it, she says, strive for it, insist upon it, and sometimes even travel around the world looking for it. You have to participate relentlessly in the manifestation of your own blessings. And once you have achieved a state of happiness, you must never become lax about maintaining it. You must make a mighty effort to keep swimming upward towards that happiness forever, to stay afloat on top of it. May we adding blessings to the reading of all of these words. I want to thank Joel Landau for being with us again here today. We're excited to hear from you, and I'd love to see if you could play a song for us.
Thank you, Mark. My pleasure. This song was a hit for Bing Crosby and the Andrews Sisters, for those of us who remember them. Back, this is in 1944. You've got to accentuate the positive. Eliminate the negative, but act on to the affirmative. Don't make the misdemeanor between. You got to spread joy to the maximum, bring gloom down to the minimum. Have faith or pandemonium, and I'm all to walk upon the scene. Straight, my best mark, don't end well, knowing they are what they may do, just when everything looks so dark. Man, they say, you better accentuate positive, eliminate the negative, and latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with this in between, no, don't mess with Mr. In Between. Oh, listen to me, children, and you will hear about the eliminating the negative and the action on the positive. And gather around your children, if you will, then, and sit tight while I start reviewing the attitude of doing it right. You got to spread joy up to the maximum, bring gloom back to the minimum. Have faith or pandemonium, liable. Walk upon the sea, ministry, my last mark, Jonah in the whale, Noah in the ark, what did they do, just when everything looks so dark? Man, they said we'd accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, latch on to the affirmative, don't mess with the in between, no, don't mess with Mr. In Between.
Joel frequently complains about having to follow me. Now I get to complain about having to follow you. That was fantastic. Thank you, Joel. I appreciate that very much. The passage today is entitled Happiness as Resistance. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. In the Declaration of Independence, this nation's founders named these three, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, as the inspiration for the basis of our government. Those are so important that the founders named unalienable rights. And actually, in Jefferson's first draft, they were also called sacred rights. Personally, I find it interesting, somewhat informative, that life and liberty are listed. listed as achievable states of being, but happiness is understood as something we can only pursue, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. As if happiness is not a fully achievable state of being. As if it's not a goal you can fully achieve as much as a journey you must constantly choose to be on. Of course, it is important to keep in mind that having your life and having liberty are certainly parts of the pursuit of happiness. And despite that, part of our government is actively removing the right to life and liberty from many of our fellow Americans. From the reversal of Roe v. Wade to limiting voting rights to people of color to taking away the rights of LGBTQ folks, the right to liberty and life continues to be methodically withheld from a majority of Americans. The interesting thing for me is this. While they may be able to limit access to life and to liberty, party of Americans, they cannot limit the ability to pursue happiness. If anything, working to restore the right to life and liberty for those Americans is actually a way to pursue happiness. It's easy to get down and overwhelmed by the depth of oppression we sometimes see in America. And while we must see it for the evil that it is, we must not let it overwhelm us even as we diligently work to right it. We must not forget the value of happiness in our lives, even in the face of evil. After all, as today's reading reminds us, a joyful heart is good medicine. Crushed spirits dry up the bones. So today I'd like to talk about the value of happiness and how it is actually an important part of resisting the evils in the world. Dr. Martin Luther King once said that peace is not merely a distant goal we seek, but a means by which we arrive at that goal. I can't help but believe, much like that, like the founders of the nation did, that happiness is somewhat similar. For that matter, I believe peace and happiness are actually kindred spirits. That said, happiness is a direction and not a destination. It isn't up to which we attempt to arrive as much as it is a way we go about traveling. It's a feeling and a purpose that we carry with us throughout our daily lives. And in many ways, it's an emotional buffer that protects us from what can sometimes seem like constant letdowns, confusions, and evils in life. In other words, it's not just an important life skill, not just an important one, but it's sort of an essential one. Now, I also have to say, I in no way believe that it's possible to always be happy. After all, it's a pursuit, not a destination. However, I do believe we all need endeavor to do it more frequently. So let's spend a little bit of time thinking about what the practice of being happy looks like, its benefits. To be happy. To be joyful is to see, well, to see the positive things and to make a sense of hopefulness. And typically, you just know it. Just know it when you see a joyous person with their wide smile and glowing sort of energy. It's almost like those folks carry a light with them. It's their happiness is just as present externally as it is internally. But one important step in figuring out how to travel this thing we call life while pursuing happiness is by sorting out which strategies of happiness work for you and which ones do not. For example, lots of people seem to believe that having certain materialistic things will bring them happiness, even though reality has shown us over and over again that that happiness is only temporary if it is any at all. And likewise, some people believe that focusing on a single goal, like a talent or a job or a person, is the key to find happiness. Frequently, though, a life lived that way can leave a person feeling empty and a bit alone. The reality is, the answer to being happy or happier is deceptively simple and frustratingly difficult all at once. The difficult truth is that it is people who constantly and consistently focus on being happy that are naturally inclined to be happy. Again, happiness is a direction, not a destination. It isn't a place that we can attempt to arrive as much as it is a way we go about traveling. And yeah, it can be difficult. And yes, it can sometimes seem like those around us are acting as barriers to our happiness, preventing us from experiencing happiness. But in the end, most happy people recognize their ability to succeed at being happy, even if others are legitimately working against them. Most of them recognize that ability rests fully within themselves. Being a happier person impacts your life positively in tons of ways. And I'm not just talking about the way we experience our day-to-day activities. For example, a study from researchers in New Zealand and the United States suggests that a person's ability to express positive, happy emotions is tied of heart disease. The more they can express it, the lower their risk of heart disease goes. So if you're happy and you know it, don't just clap your hands. Tell somebody about it. Express it. After all, today's scripture reminds us that a joyful heart is good medicine. Recent years, psychologists have begun to appreciate the benefits of happiness and positive emotions. Benefits that include everything from enhanced creativity to improved immune system function, which we know from COVID is very important. Dr. Barbara Fredrickson, just down the road at the University of North Carolina, is a leader in the field of positive psychology. In response to the question of what good or positive emotion, she gives several responses. I'll share a couple with you. First of all, it turns out that our happiness broadens our focus and expands our thinking. Our happiness broadens our focus and expands our thinking. Now, she says that in comparison, when you're angry, your focus narrows. It narrows the source of your frustration and the object of your anger. And she says that when you are upset, your mind is like a heat-seeking missile. But if you're working for change, if you're part of the resistance, that kind of outlook tends to be met with a less than helpful response. It also has a tendency to put you on a one-track approach and closes you off to creative solutions to your pursuit for a change towards a better world that might have worked better. Now contrast that with what happens when you get excited about something, when you're happy about it. Your mind actually opens up. And there's a free flow of ideas and intellectual possibilities. Curiosity abounds. That's precisely why passion is so, so essential in artistic endeavors. It's also why there needs to be high positivity ratio in the workplace if we want a high rate of productivity and a healthy bottom line. And on a related note, Dr. Fredrickson also says that happiness improves your ability to problem solve, obviously. She even suggests that when you're frustrated and you're having problems solving, the problem is confronting you, well, what you really need, she says, is just a good laugh. It turns out that laughter can help unfreeze a brain. She says, to think of humor as a lubricant that allows the wheels, your thought process, to once again start moving towards a solution. So, when you're faced with an obstacle and stuck on a solution, take some time to just really laugh it up. You'll actually have a better chance of solving the problem. Not so surprisingly, people also learn better when they are positive or in a positive frame of mind. But for the most part, the most effective school teachers are the ones who find a way to make education enjoyable. Laughter makes kids pay attention, and pay attention is key to learning. And if you think about it, as adults, when we're taking continuing education or going to a lecture, most of us prefer a speaker who is not only knowledgeable about their subject, but who can engage us in some way. And also, not so surprisingly, people gravitate towards positive people and away from negatives. I mean, happy people, we all know, it's just more fun to be with them. And then here's why social relationships are so important. Warm, caring friendships provide a stabilizing support system. Good friends are validating, inspiring, motivational. They boost our sense of purpose and belonging, and have countless studies have even shown us that strong social bonds are key to a well-lived life. And not only that, when we are resisting the powers that be, that kind of a support system can, well, it can be very essential for keeping us encouraged and keeping us energized. Again, a joyful heart is good medicine. Crushed spirit dries up the bones. I'll conclude with one last reason to be joyful. And in some ways, given the current state of our nation, it's the most important one for me. When the world seems like it is full of hate and divisions, when every time you turn around, it seems like people are yelling names at each other and putting racism and sexism and ageism and luxism and heterosexism, of so many other isms into play, one of the most important ways to protest all of those isms, one of the most important, when all these isms are coming at you every day, is to be happy anyway. To love people anyway. To encourage others anyway. You see, those kinds of evil isms thrive when they suck away our happiness. The more they get us down, the more they make it difficult for us to resist them, and the less creative we get in our ways of challenging them. Pursuing happiness in the face of all those evils, which includes ending the evils, is a form of resistance. Monet, a contemporary American poet, has said, everybody wants to get free. What is it going to look like when we're free? We must begin to practice that now. Happiness. Joyfulness. In the face of negativity, strife, and the divisions of our nation is essential. It is practicing what it will look like when we are finally free of these negative life approaches that pull us down as a nation and as a people. Let us be found pursuing happiness. I'm not saying to count any trials a joy. Just say, find the moments of joy and happiness during the trials. I'm not saying don't stop resisting in the places we must resist, but don't forget for one moment that your happiness is possibly one of the most beautiful forms of resistance that you can offer. Amen. Joel, I'm going to invite you forward again if you would do us the favor of another of your tunes, sir.
A direction, not a destination. I like that. This is a song I wrote called All Together We Will Be. There's a feeling so many people have inside. It's getting stronger, doesn't want to hide. And it's a love between us all that knows no limits, that has no walls. All together we will be, and through eternity. People, listen to your heart. It works to nourish every part. Working together as one, our body finds itself. Working as one, we find our true self. All together we will be.
Y'all have Phil's one of his CDs that came off, but I recommend it. I really enjoy all the songs on that. So thank you for that so much. We, as always, are now going into a moment that's a more inwardly turned in our service. You can accept this as a prayer, as a meditation. I always say, also just relax if you'd like it. Let the words that you need come to you and focus and meditate on those. Receive it in the way that is best for you. Let's bow our heads. May we be awakened. May we see violence, oppression, hatred, hoarding, power, and privilege with eyes wide open. Even as we've made some progress, assuring more equality for some and enlivening a sense of righteous resistance against the abuse of power in others, we've continued to live in an all too routine awareness of places in this world where people needlessly suffer and are abused. Aware but not significantly motivated to risk our own abundance or well-being in order to make the world a better place for us all. May we be awakened from our false assumptions that tell us we can continue on that way and hope to make a better world. May we be awakened from our denial of the reality that injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. May we be awakened to the reality that far too many suffer from the injustice of not having their basic needs met, their fundamental human rights met, clean water, enough food, safety, a roof under which to sleep, access to health care, the right to be treated with dignity, the right to be treated equally, freedom from slavery, freedom from discrimination, access to education, reasonable privacy, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. May we not only recognize these rights, but also recognize that when any lack them, it is a threat to all of creation. May we be awakened and encouraged to pursue access for all people to those basic human rights. And may we not be satisfied until justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. Receive this blessing. May you walk in harmony with each other and with creation, recognizing that we are one. And may you know love and happiness throughout your life, and may your words and your actions share that love and happiness with all the people you meet.